Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
and find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
This was one of the most arduous.
Oh,
wow.
Weeding down. Dude, I am not confident in my five at all because I don't know how many you guys have. I have, outside of my five, I have one, two, or seven, I guess. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay.
I have 18.
Wow. Yeah, 18. I only had 10.
Extra?
18 extra.
Yeah, I've got 12 extra. There's a certain point where I was just like, man, if it doesn't come to me, I'm just not even going to overthink it.
There's so many that are actually planes taking off. And I said, you know what? That's not fun. That's not exciting.
Yeah, there was a couple where I was like, oh, yeah. And then when I finally thought about it. What it was, I was like, yes, that was the plot liftoff, but... That's not worth mentioning.
There are a couple where I was like, I know I had a different plot liftoff, but I'm changing it to this.
Yes, there was at least two or three.
No way.
There was at least two or three where I looked at the movie, thought about the plot, thought about what the plot liftoff was, went to my notes, had something different written down.
Yeah. This it was also really fun. Difficult for me to search my notes.
You don't say.
Because I don't. Well, here's. Well, first of all, half the movie.
What
notes? You didn't flip through that notebook or what?
I don't understand.
But Zach, I'm curious.
Oh, this notebook? This notebook that's going to be worth a lot of money someday? That one?
A lot of money. How early were either of you guys using the term plot liftoff in your notes?
So I brought it back.
In the notes? See, that was the tough thing to find. Like, it's not an easy search function.
I know when I brought it back.
For some reason.
It's funny. I'm spoiler alert. By the time I started using the term plot liftoff, none of those ones were going to make my top five.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. But I brought it back for the Icerd episode. That was the first, which is not on my list. It's not on my top five. It's not on my OOLIs.
What was the first time you used the music?
Ooh, first time I used the music. That's a good question.
It's a synepathy question.
Real quick. That is a synepathy question.
Or a glossary question. I don't know.
Or both. First time I used the song was Accepted.
Wow.
Wow, man. I looked at that one.
It's crazy as I won't remember that either. There's not a chance. I forget we did Accepted.
Oh, shit. No, you don't. You look like Carly Simon.
Well, whenever you remind me, that's the first thing I think of. That might be plot lift off. I don't know why.
Him in that suit.
It's the biggest fucking suit I've ever seen. You could fit three Steve Harvey suits in there. Like, it's insane. Just insane. Like, I know he was big, but come on, man. You can't do him like that.
It's the long ass man.
Yeah, the feather does it. Oh, my God.
By the way, do we do extended cold opens for this one that end up on the Patreon, or no? Is that just a...
I don't think so.
Nah,
whatever length the cold open is ends up in the episode.
All right.
Make it long, make it short, whatever you want.
Do you have more?
No.
This is my favorite. This is a mean questioning whether the cold open
is long enough. Two very different styles for like starting an episode, right? If it's regular Cinephobe, I wait for a little break. Every once in a while it gets disrupted, but I feel like... And Amin's just like, guys, you think maybe we can start the episode? Do you think I should start the episode now? Should I do the intro?
Should I do the intro?
Just stick it in. Just fuck already.
Some of you guys don't have integrity. You just go, you stick your dick wherever. I say, ma'am, is it all right? Are you ready? I get consent. I don't know.
You had zero babs on the Driven episode. You had about 52 bitches and hoes. Yeah. So I don't know about 52 that.
52 bitches and hoes in the movie. I didn't make it.
One for every week of the year.
I feel like I...
one can dream. Welcome to...
Harem Nights.
This idea is just straight up bad. That algorithm is busted. It's among the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Top five, easily.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Kinda broke the ceiling, y'all, so all I got is five.
Welcome to Cinephobe Top 5, a.k.a. CT5. That's right, that's the podcast where we say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who has the best top 5 of them all? And usually it's me, by the way. Going to throw that out there.
Not even close.
I did actually finally win a poll on Spotify. But
I'm sick of these polls, man.
It's been too long.
It's been a while. Does Derek know?
I'm not sick of that poll. I'm just sick of the other polls.
All right, so if you listen to Cinephobe, you love Cinephobe, you're often wondering, oh, what I wonder what they think the greatest this is that of the of the series has ever been. Well, this is the episode, or this is the podcast where we do that. We rank different elements from across the Cinephobe universe and see what our top fives are, including two outside looking in categories, or as we like to call them, OLI. And so this week, we're doing CT5, a relatively newcomer as far as a category in Cinephobe history, Plot Liftoff.
Mm-hmm.
Plot Liftoff. If you heard in the cold open, May said the first time Plot Liftoff was applied was during the Accepted episode.
Well, that's not exactly the first time he used the music.
The music. Right. Oh, what
but
was the first mention?
Well, Mace played it while you were late. Mace played it for me. So I know.
Sorry for having a job.
Also have jobs.
Yeah, you got jobs that
hand jobs,
let you do whatever.
Z-jobs.
I don't.
No, I got to follow very strict
rules. Well, it's jobs. Exactly that. It's a three-tiered rollout for the plot liftoff. So it was actually very, very early in the podcast.
Yeah, can you guess the first mention of plot liftoff in Cinephobe history?
Now you say very, very early. I'm going to say Mr. Magoo.
Even earlier than that?
That would be you not knowing... The right answer.
Shit. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's next.
Yeah, exactly. Wicker Man.
And we'll play the clip later on because it will come up. But then it came back in the Ice Road episode.
Ice Road was before Accepted?
Yes. A good 15 years or something like that.
Wow.
And then it took 15 years for us to throw the term around again and decide that, you know what? We're going to make this a regular occurrence. I got a theme song. I got the whole thing.
Just do you have the sound? Can you play the sound right now?
While you're loading that up, let me say this. Just came to me. A good question format for Cinepity. Chronological order of four random episodes.
Oh my God. But when we play Cineparty, we always, Cineparty as I like to call it, aren't we allowed to use a spreadsheet? That's the whole point, like as a cheat sheet?
I guess that would have to be something where like, you got to
blind.
You
know,
put your
they would
hands
have to
up
be a,
or something.
Yeah. Well,
put a blindfold on.
Yeah.
But in the Ice Road, it was when he gets a emergency alert on his phone, and it doesn't say anything. It just says contact Jay Goldenrod.
It wasn't when those guys called Gertie a bingo. Thank you for your service, Gertie. By the way,
I thought it was the first time Gertie spoke in the hospital. Oh. We were like, wait a second. What's happening here?
Well, there you go. There's the other wrinkle is that everybody has their own plot liftoff. So that should make it even more interesting.
All right. So as I said, we always have our CT5, our top five. But before we get to top fives, we have two outside looking ins. What's the order? The order is going to be me first. Isn't that what?
Yep.
Me first, May 2nd, and then Zach, the dishonest podcaster, bringing up
the rear.
It says
honest podcaster. Maybe get some glasses.
I know. I said dishonest podcaster. I'm pointing to you as a dishonest podcaster. Not that one. This one. Dishonest. Mm-hmm.
Got to fix more racism, I guess. What's
going on? Jesus. All right.
Well, I know
that this is probably against the rules, but No, you know what? I'm going to hold off on that one. My first outside looking in, my first OLI.
What rules?
What rules?
What are you talking about?
Well, you'll see. You'll see. My first OLI is the heartbreak kid, the car ride to Mexico.
Yeah, I got through my list and I thought back and I was like, oh, what's the jump off? Because
it's easily that. It's him driving, and at first they're having fun, they're playing music.
It's when she's doing the trumpet, right?
She's doing the trumpet for a guitar. Like, it's something that's clearly not a trumpet, and he's looking over and he's kind of like, he's starting to realize something is amiss there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Does he not give up though until he meets Michelle Monaghan's character?
No, he's
realizing he made a huge mistake. I'm with you
on that.
And
that's kind of the point of it, right? It's not necessarily getting to her. It's the
because he Joe Bluthed. Now he's looking for a way out.
Right.
Yes.
And she just happens to be that way out.
Because let me present a scenario. Let's say that he never meets Michelle Monaghan's character. That marriage wasn't going to last beyond the honeymoon. Like, just them, that experience, he would have broken up with her.
I don't think he has the balls, though, to break it off. I think need that.
He needed
someone to, like, help galvanize that.
He needed someone to lie.
Yeah.
To motivate him to lie.
I think he would have gone through a long time of
just cock-me-ity. Silently miserable. Yes,
right, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a great one. All right. My first OLI, this is by far the quickest plot liftoff on my list. We're talking 3 minutes into the movie. This plot is taken off. We're buckling seatbelts. We're getting out of here. It's when a strapping young Julius Benedict learns that I have a brother and twins. And he immediately jumps in a rowboat and rows his ass to the next island at 75 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. He's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Hey, this isn't Catalina. This is the coast.
No. This isn't the wine mixer. Like, this is...
fucking steroided out of his mind.
Waves.
In a rowboat.
In a rowboat. Like, it's fucking Jaws the Revenge. Like, just...
even Jaws the Revenge, they didn't let him go far, right?
That's like, true. Yeah, Michael Caine like, shows right, up. I don't think so. My first OLI, I don't care for you guys to fight me on this. This is my personal plot liftoff. Okay. For this OLI. It's the opening scene of Barbed Wire.
It's a sound. There you go. So
I was lifted off and it look, I was plotting.
Swear to God, in my cutting room floor, I have Barbed Wire, Zach's erection. That's my plot.
That's the opening scene. That's might even been the trailers that were playing it. I don't even know, man. I was ready to go.
You walked in full mast?
Because I'm not sure when else the plot gets going there.
What plot? I don't even know.
All right. So this is the part where I break the rules. My second outside looking in.
What
right?
rules?
Heartbreak well,
I have
rules.
Two different plot liftoffs from two different movies, but they're co outside looking in because they follow a very similar theme. And that theme is the opening scene to the movie.
Which is a different CT5, but it's okay.
Sure. Belly and Taxi come in hand as plot liftoffs.
But why? So one is your OLI and then the other one's five.
No. See, that's why I said I'm breaking the rules.
So then a heartbreak kid doesn't make it.
No. See, that's why I said I'm breaking the rules.
No.
You said, what rules?
Go ahead. Okay.
I'm going to pick three for every single one then. Like, what are we doing?
I'm breaking the rules. I told you guys I'm breaking the rules. And you're like,
it's his dumbass list.
What rules?
Okay, also, just another CT5.
Yeah, it is. It's another
CT5. No, but that's a plot liftoff. Both of those are plot liftoffs.
Disagree completely on Taxi.
It's not the plot liftoff for Taxi.
I'm sorry, that is
not
the plot
in
liftoff.
The slightest. No, it's the only thing you remember from the movie, but it's not the plot liftoff.
I remember filing the movie. That's what I remember.
Also, like Belly, kind of.
Yeah,
that's a plot little. Liftoff. Yeah, Belly is
Belly definitely more than
just
Taxi.
Don't put Taxi on the list. No. That's not plot liftoff.
It's absolutely plot liftoff. Put an opening scene - Belly / Taxi. Nice.
Well, how do I follow that? I don't know.
Can't.
I guess I'm going to have to go with when Demi Moore and Michael Douglas do everything but fuck. And she says, you stick your dick in my mouth and then you get an attack of morality.
Yeah,
but this never happened. He's got a family. Yeah, well, your family made you stupid. And his finishing line is, you take those two champagne bottles in your refrigerator and you go, fuck them. That's disclosure. And now we have a corporate leverage battle that will span the entire movie.
Do we think he meant fuck the bottles at the same time or one after the other?
I'm sorry?
What's his imagination there?
Well, DP, Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I don't know. Or just champagne train. I don't know.
I think he left it up to her.
Enough champagne to fill her Nile.
You know what I mean?
And enough champagne to fill the Nile.
Hey! Oh, champagne!
All right. My next OLI. Everybody needs to know where they come from and what they are. And for Donald Faison, Whoopi and Paul Mooney show up. Give the story of losing him in Italy, homie Simone.
Absolutely.
That's my number five.
Oh, shit, bro. My bad.
No two.
I hate doing that, but I'm glad that we could talk about it.
I love doing it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
Are you jealous of me and you feel left out?
No, it was on my cutting room floor, but I just, I don't know.
It's such a funny... The whole, like, Paul Mooney's just ass off.
The actual story, right?
Yeah, well, showing up and then telling the story and, like, it all rolls into it. Yeah. And his reaction and...
He sees them and he's flipping the fuck out and she's trying to chase him up the stairs. And then the next scene is like, all right, let's sit him down and give you the details of how this could have transpired. And there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's on my cutting room floor. It was a tough one to cut out, but definitely very worthy.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Now we're in the top five. Here's my number five. And for number five, I'm just going to read the dialogue from this plot liftoff. Speaking of installations, is that a shiny new set of cans on Mandy Bohack? They look good, but I'll still take the real deal any day. Right, you're telling me you'd take Kimmy Long's flapjacks over Mandy's new speed bags? That's what I'm telling you. I like my boobs with a little mileage on them. They're more fun. Fun? Yeah, you can smush them, swing them, hump them, stretch Armstrong them. And what about the proven correlation between floppy boobs and large mouth vaginas? It's Hall Pass when they're caught on the closed circuit TV.
That is pot liftoff. Yeah, that's pot liftoff for sure.
Because
yeah.
that's when the wives say, that's look, the, you guys need
enough
a hall.
Is enough.
Like, yep, enough yeah. is enough.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that one probably needs to be a rewashington because we haven't
talked too much about that one
in a while.
Yeah.
I already did my number five, so it's you, Zach.
My number five, man, teenagers just having fun, just, you know, having drinks, having a party. Everyone shows up. Everyone's having a good time. Oh, my God. These people are in shenanigans in the pool. These people are in shenanigans down on the hill at the house. And Jake Tyler's there. And all of a sudden, Ryan McCarthy says, this is your first time here. You got to fight. It's never back down.
Oh, wow.
He okey-doked us.
He did.
What'd you think it was? What'd you think it was?
Preston? Myers, dude,
which I thought about, but I was like, I guess that's not really plot liftoff.
Yeah, it is for me, damn it.
It's taken over the entire movie. It's become
that's movie liftoff for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, you got to fight. You're new in town.
You got to fight.
You never fought first time before.
You got to do it, man.
You got to catch these hands.
And he whoops his ass.
Number four for me is Jason Bateman showing that dumb bitch how to turn on a microscope. It's Teen Wolf 2.
What? Plot lift up?
Yes.
Not him becoming a fucking werewolf?
No. Him showing that dumb bitch how to turn on a microscope.
Are you just doing golden dumpsters?
Nope.
He's done it.
That's when the movie lifted off for me.
One for each.
What?
He's on his list. Isn't it when he becomes a fucking wolf?
That's number four. Yep.
Not look, him boxing.
The plot lifted off
not
for
him
you guys.
At the party.
No, the plot lifted off for you guys at a different point. For me, I was like, okay, here we are. Tray tables up. Seat backs in their upright lock positions.
Okay.
Seat all right. Fastened.
You say so. My number four. After years of being mocked, of being shamed for being different, one man had enough. And he channels years of anger. He jumps over the offensive line and he flattens Peter Dante into a concussion.
No.
It's Bobby Boucher in the Water Boy. Who dat? Who dat?
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Who dat? Who dat? I'm the woo-woo Water Boy. Come on, man.
No, don't come on me. Don't. I don't want to.
You may hate the movie, but you can't deny that.
That's not a top. I don't know. It's the fourth best plot liftoff we've ever had.
That's his list, Zach.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You're number four.
I actually scratched one out and removed it from the list in order to put the origin of plot lift off.
Okay.
Here, number four. It's a glass of whiskey put down on a piece of paper and the ring from the whiskey glass. 9/11/2001.
What happened?
All the makings of a plot lift off.
What happened?
It's knowing Nick Cage.
All right. Let's actually listen to that.
Let's
right
actually
now.
Listen to it. Yeah.
This go back in time to year four of Cinephobe. This whole putting the whiskey down thing, that's what they decided had to be the device for him to look at the piece of paper.
Yeah, because it puts a ring of whiskey on the paper, which now isolates some of the numbers. And this is where I wrote the note, plot liftoff. Nice. That's where it gets going.
That's exactly what happened.
Solid 22 minutes in.
As Zach points out, the numbers are circled. So then he goes to a whiteboard, I guess in his kitchen or somewhere like that.
Yeah, like around the kitchen area.
And he writes the numbers and he looks at the combos and like races and then draws lines. And then he realizes the first three numbers are 9/11/01. And this motherfucker, ladies and gentlemen, in 2009... has to Google what happened on 9/11/2001.
Shot acid.
That leads right into Amin's infamous I was offended rant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot acid. Googling 9/11 award. That's what that is.
All right, number three, Ricky Gervais goes to a bank and is overdrawn, but needs to withdraw some money. So he tells the lady to check again because surely there's been a mistake. And so she says, yeah, I mean, the computer must be off, and gives him the money. It's the invention of lying. And it's the exact moment Ricky Gervais learns how to lie.
Yeah, it's the rare plot liftoff and the title at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't say it, does he?
No.
He does it.
He did it.
Ah. All right. My number three. Now, I feel like this has to... I'm going to be surprised if this isn't on somebody else's list. It's 15 minutes into this movie. We've had a relatively straightforward, it's two buddies, they're coworkers. And then, you know, one of them's got some crazy ideas. One of them's a little more skeptical. And then all of a sudden, Jack Black makes poop disappear.
Vaporizes it
in envy. And the look on Rachel Weisz's face, staring daggers at Ben Stiller for being such a fucking idiot as Amy Poehler is bouncing up and down in the background off camera going, We're gonna be rich! We're gonna be rich! And then the whole movie changes. It's great.
Yeah.
That's a really great lift off. Yep. Zach, number three.
My number three. I had to like really think about this because I didn't want to be prisoner of the moment, but the more I thought about it, the more cemented in I was with this. Yes, there's recency bias. Yes.
Hopos?
It's not that. Are you too soon? I don't know if you're too soon.
A little too soon.
It's not that. It is simply a man just trying to make it, just trying to provide for his family.
Oh, yeah.
Gets fired from his job. Louis Pinnock, as we found out during the Washington recently, Louis Pinnock gets fired in White Man's Burden. I need my fucking job, man.
Oh, my God. Yo, that sound, of him just...
Unbelievable, man.
Dolphins from fucking miles around reacted to that.
Every dog in the neighborhood barks like crazy.
Look, man, this is a conversation for another time, but that re-Washington, I honestly made me realize that movie is fucking art. That movie is so crazy and offensive and incredible. Oh, my God.
Number two. No big lead up here. Very simple. Tiptoes, Gary Oldman.
What?
The moment we see Gary Oldman.
Yeah. No, that's undeniable. Popular. It doesn't need any setup. It doesn't need any explanation. Like just Gary Oldman tiptoes. That's 100%. Yeah, that's a great call. Didn't make my list, but that's a great call.
Oh man. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. That's great. My number two, pretty recent, and I think we universally agreed on this because there really is no movie without this scene. 20 minutes into The Toy, when Master Bates wants to purchase a black man.
Oh, yeah, that's toughy. Yeah. And the, the people that work for his dad trying to explain to him.
Kind of attempt to tell him that it's not okay.
I don't know if we could do that.
So I think it's illegal. Really. Like,
yeah. All right, my number two. Amin's not the only one with an opening scene for plot liftoff.
Okay.
Nothing in this movie happens. The testing doesn't happen. The evolution doesn't happen. None of that stuff happens without... I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Roscoe's death, Lawnmower Man.
Is that plot liftoff?
100%. He doesn't work on that bingo if Roscoe's still alive.
I mean, director's cut. It's 100% the plot liftoff because
But it's also later in the movie. It's later in the movie, right?
No, but the escape. He goes to Job when he escapes.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original, I don't even really remember because I feel like I've only watched the original.
He's escaping and gets shot. No, I know.
He gets shot and then he's dead. But I don't remember like how they... Then he's just in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Job's just in the neighborhood, mowing the lawn next door or whatever.
And now Pierce Brosnan, you know, he's smoking in bed at 3 a.m. and trying to figure out what's next for his life.
All right. My number one is also from an older cinephobe movie. Not older. Well, actually, yes, it's older in age and older in terms of how far back we did it for cinephobe. It's Bolo killing his own man in Double Impact.
I had a different one for that movie. But that's a good one. Yeah.
Yep. That's what you knew.
I still think you're on Golden Dumpsters, but
no. Nope. That's plot liftoff right there.
No, Double Impact plot liftoff is when he learns out that he has a twin and he goes to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Something different for that too.
No. It's when he sees someone kill their own man to make
a point.
I'll just tell you
what mine is now. It's not my number one, but my plot liftoff for Double Impact is when at point blank range, Bolo uses a shotgun on the mother. On her face. Blows her face completely off. That's plot liftoff to me.
With this crazy eye.
Yeah. Bolo, man.
Wow. Well, I'm stunned. I'm truly stunned.
Really?
Because I feel like we've talked about this before, and the fact that it wasn't a means number one is one thing, but the fact that it wasn't on his list at all is truly stunning.
I think I know what you're going with, too.
Yeah.
It's a major moment in cinephobe history. It reshaped a lot of things. It's Apollo's death in Rocky IV. Throw the damn tile. If he dies, he dies. The thousand-mile stare between Rocky and Drago.
I'm going to say it right now.
That's not just a great plot liftoff in cinephobe history. That's a great plot liftoff
in movie
cinema
history. Yeah. Cinema.
That was originally my number four, and then I took it off for the whiskey ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I was all alone on this one, I guess so.
My number one.
Spice of life.
You guys may remember an old man damn near dying at work.
Oh, damn.
Damn near dying at work. If it wasn't for a hero jumping up, doing a flip, catching a line drive that was meant for the face of an old man, and then firing that motherfucker to first base through the glove. It is Ed saving the life of his manager in Ed.
Zach, I'm shocked that that's your plot liftoff. We're in the cutting room floor, and I can go right to... I had Ed peeking his head out from the door of the bus, and we realized that the guy you're picking up, Matthew LeBlanc, isn't a guy after all. It's a chimp. Well,
no, that's what I fell in love. That's pod liftoff for me, but that's not plot liftoff. That's two very different things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I argued, I think in the episode, that it wasn't until the ump says he can play, but hindsight, it's definitely him giving them a little exhibition and blowing the netting out of fake French Stewart's. Love at first base. Just flaming.
Bingo has looking out on his face. Yeah. OOLIs?
Yeah. Another cutting room floor. Let me get it started here. The Pictionary scene in The Breakup. Shoe inside another shoe. Stop drawing a damn shoe.
Oh, wow. Oh, I had a different one for The Breakup. I had him one to play some Grand Theft Auto when it was time to do the dishes.
Why would I want to do the dishes?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, thinking back to that movie, I couldn't think of the moment off the top of my head.
I think while Zach's, I still feel like that's a buildup. The plot liftoff is when they have an argument playing Pictionary, and he goes off on her like, all those years at art school, you still don't know how to draw a goddamn sock or whatever. Like, that's plot liftoff because everyone's kind of just staring at them like, oh shit, you realize a breakup is about to happen.
I had two that were really strong, but I felt I had been honoring them in other categories recently, so I wanted to give some other opportunities. But it's Street Kings when Terry Crews gets shot to death, and it's Swordfish when Hugh Hackman does the clap and hacks the NSA while getting a blowjob.
Yeah, I had that on my list as well. Sucked off while hacking with a gun to your head, Swordfish.
Sucked off here.
Sucked off.
I had Street Kings as well, Terry Crews.
Oh, man, I didn't even think of that. That's a great one.
Yeah. Dude, that was one of the first ones I thought of.
I just kept thinking of Forrest Whitaker. Same thing with Taken 3. I was just like, all right, Forrest Whitaker, what did he do? Yeah. Like, I just. No, it wasn't, that's but that's
I look, I want. Look, this is how you know.
No, it's actually Liam getting bagels, right? That's plot liftoff. Yeah.
I want you guys to know how much integrity I'm filled with, because I wanted so badly, not only to put on my sheet, but put in the top five, Liam Neeson buying a panda for his daughter. But I was like, I mean, that's not plot. No matter how you twist and turn it, there's no way that plot lived up.
I wish you'd applied some of that integrity to the rest of your list, but it's
all right. Well, I mean, no, the rest of my list is filled with integrity, as you can tell from the name.
And golden dumpsters.
and future CT5 opening scenes.
You Zach, give us a
cutting room floor.
Christoph Waltz canceling orders and sinking the putt. Horrible Bosses 2.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
I look back at that one, and the one I was going to write down was Chris Pine popping out of the trunk.
No, come on.
No.
Because he kidnapped himself.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
That's a good one. That's a good one, actually. Maybe, you know what? Maybe.
It's tough, though.
That's
a good one. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those ones where I feel like I'm not sure, you know? Is the plot liftoff them doing the morning TV show and pitching their product? Like, it's what is it exactly that gets it going?
Television.
I think you're going to have to change that name.
I'm going to have to agree with him.
I'm going to have to agree with Nick.
Let's see here. I've got the first time someone sings "Time is on my side." That's not the death row inmate guy in Fallen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that's when he realizes, oh, the shit has moved on to someone else.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one.
When it's moving around the office, is that that scene?
The first time, like someone else sings it.
I froze.
Yep. Yeah, you did. It looks like you're staring lovingly
at Maze. Zach. Hey, Zach. I am.
Derek's right there.
It looks like you're trying to do the 90-10 rule with Maze. Also, Maze, you're tickling the wrong side. It just tickled me.
For me, it looks like Maze is sickened by me doing this. So I'll send it to you guys. This is how it froze for me.
All right. My next real quick,
back to the Horrible Bosses 2 thing. We should clip the morning show woman going, oh, because she does that. She does that when they start yelling at each other. He goes, why would your dad? She goes, oh.
Don't yell on TV.
38 minutes into Cocktail, things get a little escalated.
I could not remember
what it was.
Yeah.
We've got Coughlin banging Gina Gershon for a bet. We've got Gina coming over and talking shit to Tom Cruise. Then we've got Tom Cruise and Coughlin fighting at cell block. They break the bottle. He's holding it at his neck. He's like, come on, fucking cut me. Come on. And then he goes to Kokomo. That's the next thing. So all of that. You think you're on one track with the movie. They're climbing up the Flair bartender scene. They've reached the pinnacle. They're working at cell block, making one drink an hour. And now that's completely derailed. Everything falls apart. He goes to Kokomo. It literally becomes a completely different movie.
He's just like, his dream is to just go work a fucking tiki stand in Kokomo.
Well,
like when you really think about it, like, I mean, he's like, I've made it.
You live in Jamaica. You fuck tourists.
I guess. Like,
it's a pretty good life, Zach. I don't know what you're pushing back on here.
That wasn't his dream. That was his backup plan.
What would you rather do? Would you rather have him like be an expert assisting someone else in renovating and fixing up bars, training staff?
That's, you know what? That's a very lucrative business.
Making sure there are no fruit flies in the alcohol.
Coughlin's diet. Cocktails and dreams. I see it in pouring, pink neon. Blink, they're not blink, refilling blink.
Alcohol bottles. With other alcohol?
Oh my God! Don't do that. That's illegal. He's stealing, defrauding customers.
I've got Hank Azaria banging out Deborah Messing. Along came Polly.
Are you guys full scuba?
I thought about that for sure.
Yeah,
I love that because that's another one where it derails where you think you're going with the movie, right?
Right.
But is it something to do with Polly?
I don't think it needs to because it's setting up like, all right.
It's what pushes Ben Stiller's character into like in the same way that like Heartbreak Kid, the car scene is what primes him to be ready to look for something else.
Right.
Look to me in my eyeball.
Yeah. Let's see here. I've got American Ninja. The American Ninja losing to the white guy in the fight, thus realizing there's another American Ninja in this movie.
He had me confused for a second. I get what he's saying now, though. When Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent, loses to Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah.
He loses to the American Ninja.
No. He's the American Ninja. He loses to Dudikoff, thus realizing there's a second American Ninja in this movie. But the American Ninja is Steve James.
No.
Yes.
No.
Put it up on. Let the people decide.
No.
No, what are you afraid of?
Nothing. It's just like, it's so stupid. It's such a stupid concept.
Oh. Zach's afraid of his years of trying to solve racism not working out for him at this poll.
Well,
I mean, one of us is trying to solve racism. The other one's trying to perpetuate it, you know?
I'm just saying, Zach, that right hand is awfully high there in that frozen picture of you. I don't know where it's going. It's like, first of all,
you know where it's going.
Yeah, I know exactly where it's going. Racist. Maze, do you have any more?
Yeah, okay. This is a good one. And I really wanted to put the cocktail one in. I really wanted to put this one in. Hercules in New York, when Pretzi discovers Herc beating everyone's ass down by the docks with a giant board.
Blinking and rubbing his eyes.
Oh,
like,
I didn't think of that. That's like a great one.
And then, seeing Matt LeBlanc pitch.
And then he waits for everyone. He waits for him to knock everyone in the water.
Yeah.
And then he runs up. He's like, hey, let's get out of here. You're in trouble.
You have to. Yeah. It's like, no, you have to.
He beat everybody. And then he picks up his beanie and shit with his basket of fucking pretzels. I get in the cab. And then the world's best buddy comedy starts.
That sounds so racist with his basket of pretzels.
Yeah, that does sound super racist.
Super racist.
A minor one, but I do love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old lady dipping on Woody. Pickpocketing in Money Train.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because now he had all the money to pay off his debts and everything, and now he's got to figure out some things.
Let's see here. Oh, I've got, this is a good one. Paul Bettany saying, Angel.
That's not Liftoff. That
is.
That's not.
We didn't really know what was happening.
We knew what was happening.
No,
we 100% knew what was happening.
We didn't know. They were under attack. By who? Who's attacking them, Zach?
What are you talking
about? We didn't know. And then Paul Bettany said, Angels. Like, oh, wow.
We saw it when the fucking racist cop turned into a demon or an angel.
Officer Stovepipe?
Zach, this is what happened here. This is a barbed wire situation. That's when Amin's dick lifted off.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Yeah. Now I get it. You just got to put it in terms I understand.
All right. This one, I'm not sure that it... I feel like it is the plot lift off, but I could see some other ones potentially being it. It's an anaconda when Paul Cerrone leaps on board as thunder crashes and derails their boat ride 10 minutes into the movie.
I mean, I've got... Picking up John Voight, Anaconda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because then the next, I mean, I feel like it's really more the next scene in the morning when he catches a fish and he's talking about his past and five whiskeys, all that. But, or when Mateo dies, you know?
Oh.
It's kind of tough. Mateo!
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the fucking newspaper photo. Is that butt lift up?
That's butt lift. Why is this shit still frozen? I'm going to get out and get back in.
That's what she said.
Keep doing that over and over again. There's a bunch that I'm surprised haven't been said yet. I thought for sure one of these would pop up.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was tougher to think of, you know? Like I said, and then sometimes I'm like, oh, it's just a pretty straightforward, like, oh, they're going to Africa and Congo.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, the Mighty Ducks are going to Los Angeles.
What was it that, or was it, what was plot lift off in Mighty Ducks going?
I mean, it was literally like we're going to the Junior Goodwill Games. I thought about changing it to when the dentist shows up.
Yeah.
And starts talking shit.
Well, I guess it would be the guy from Hendrix, right?
Or that. Yeah. And either way, that's pretty much boring, you know?
What about Driven? Was it?
Driven is we need to call Joe the Hummer Tanto.
Oh,
Joe the Hummer Tanto.
I thought it was when we found out that Burt Reynolds was in a wheelchair. And they literally once have to again, lift him off.
That's more of a film noir. I don't know if that's so much of a plot lift off.
I don't think Amin knows what plot lift off is.
I'm pretty sure.
Luckily, we're not supposed to define it.
Let me give another example just to make sure that I know what plot lift off is. Bloodsport, when Bolo beats the big dude and then starts taunting JCVD with the headband. I thought about that.
At least 80 minutes into the movie? 70 yeah. minutes?
But the movie really takes off from that point.
Right, and that's what we talk about with, like, plot afterburners or, like...
Mm-hmm. It's going to the stratosphere now.
Plot speed of sound. But the plot is there's a fucking tournament. Or the plot is you're not going to call the cops.
Yeah.
What kind of a deal?
That's plot lift off because then he learns how to fucking do karate.
I won't lie. You know what? That is plot lift off. I forgot. I forgot that's how we even got here. Yeah. I saw Bloodsport and I was like, Bolo. I didn't even think about fucking young Frank Dukes.
Start darting back and forth.
Did we do that as a re-Washington yet?
No.
Oh my God, man. I can't wait to see. You know, I realize we've been consuming young Frank Dukes as just a soundbite for so long. I can't wait
to do the whole
all his glory as he's sweating and he looks fucking scared.
When he gets in the fight at the school wearing that horrible outfit.
The Bartle and James shirt.
Oh my God.
That's what plot lift off is buying that kid a Bartle and James shirt.
What a 20 CBS shirt, man.
That is incredible.
Last two OOLIs here. Judge Dredd when Rico escapes from Aspen.
Oh, and, yeah, that's a good one.
I'm surprised you did not have this one. I mean, maybe you still do, but hi, Daddy. Carbon copy.
Carbon copy. Denzel reveals he's the son.
Yeah.
Because they get right to it. 10 minutes.
Yep. What a great movie that was.
I have three different shark ones.
Okay.
Two for Jaws Revenge, because I know we disagreed on some of it.
The plot lifts off twice in that movie, is what you're saying.
Well, the plot lifts off scene one, the shark fucking arrives.
Zach said opening scene. Yeah. That was Zach's plot lift off.
Yeah, the shark arrives. Shark vision, opening scene. That's how I know, like, shit's on, right? The shark is out for revenge. The other one would be when the shark gets to the Bahamas.
For some reason, Zach said that, and I had the shark stepping off a plane with like a Hawaiian shirt on.
Hoagie flew the shark in.
Sunglasses on. Yeah,
he's dressed like Bane, man. No, he's dressed like Bane. He's in a disguise.
Carrying a little suitcase. And
he's got a trench coat. He's got a little driving hat. Yeah. And then the other one, shark takes a bite out of Sarsgaard's arm in Deep Blue Sea.
In Deep Blue Sea, that's when we realize that the sharks are smart and aware and awake. Let's see. I got Green Lantern, the death of his daddy.
That's not, no, I thought about that. It's, yeah, that's a golden dumpster.
No, it's clearly when he gets the fucking ring of power when he becomes the Green Lantern. That's
no. Why was he a pilot? It's because his dad died.
Why was your dad?
No, I figured out. Amin confuses plot lift off with something he just created, which is exposition lift off. That's what.
I've got A Million Ways to Die in the West.
The
introduction of Foy as the foil to Seth MacFarlane's character.
Okay, at least it's not the mayor getting dragged by wolves.
The wolves. No, bye, Mr. Mayor.
I just have one more.
Mm-hmm.
These dirty cops decide to steal from Liam Neeson after he's done 12 heists. Honest thief.
No.
When he decides to like turn himself in, or when he meets Sweet Annie.
Hey, Sweet Annie.
That's the one.
And creates an incredible platonic friendship.
Buys her a house.
Buys her house.
With his safe repair career.
Yeah.
I fix safes.
Yes. And here's a bottle of champagne.
Champagne.
To fill the Nile. Let's see what else I have here. I have Fred Claus. Fred going to the North Pole to work for Santa.
Sure.
I've got Reindeer Games. The casino having both Coke and Pepsi.
No,
that's not
absolutely not. That has nothing
dumpster.
To do with the plot.
You're just doing Golden Dumpsters extended.
No, the plot lifted off right there. That's when the story really starts to take off. And finally, I have Action Jackson, Sharon Stone, and Vanity. That fantasy that I had of them, too.
Well, okay, that's another erection one. So
that one I'll allow.
I bet you will.
Zach really is pro boner. Pro bono.
Oh. Sunny bono.
Daytime. It is a sunny. It's the only way to get the bono is when it's sunny.
Don't go up to night country, True Detective. Yeah,
why do you think they call it vitamin really, D?
Zach would not do what? Zach would not be able to reproduce up there.
Oh my God, you put me in the north? Sorry, this bloodline is done.
This cum cocoon is just...
Yeah. Just a flaccid noodle the whole time.
Noodle! Hey, Noodle.
Come here, Noodle. Hey, come here. Hey, Noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? Make sure you send us your CT5 plot liftoffs at Talk Hoops, at Darth Amin, at Corn Puzzle, at Cinephile Pod, at Count the Dings, or drop them in that Discord that you get access to, patreon.com/countthedings.
Also, make sure you are checking out all that extra content in the Patreon, including the OG podcast and the Cinephobe watch-alongs, the Rewatchingtons, also the extended cut of all the cold opens. You don't want to miss any of that shit, man. That's the good stuff.
And you can watch us do this on YouTube.
That's right.
Hopefully you just did. Yeah. If you see Zach's frozen face.
Check out my frozen face for like 9 minutes.
And also understand that if you didn't, then you got this days late because Maze posts this on YouTube first.
Listener, you dumb bitch.
The cereal smell is like...
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.